This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. We have a full house today. I love when we have a full house.
I know.
You know nice. What? You know why I like when we have a full house?
So I don't have to listen to you.
No, that's why you like
it.
That's
okay.
Why you like when we have a full house. I like when we have a full house because I feel loved. I just feel loved. It's just a nice thing. I just feel the love from everybody. So, wow. Okay. Mary Goulet. Rich Otey, even White Wade is hanging out with us. I don't know what are you doing down there, by the way,
always
man?
The
MacGyvering something.
Is that so? That's what they call it. The kids are calling it fixing the mic nowadays. Yeah. I didn't realize that's what they call it nowadays. You got to keep up with the youth, man. I'm not on Snapchat or Instagram or all that, but evidently fixing the mic is what they're calling it now. All right, nice. Speaking of fixing the mic. We got Mike Canning's in the house. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
How are you?
Good to see you.
And you brought along your better half, Ed Rush.
Driver. I have no responsibility here whatsoever.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, he's in the house. So, yeah, we're going all out. So
wait, you actually give up the keys to your Tesla and you let
Ed drive? He totally did today. We had a conference call, so I got in the HOV lane in the Tesla and just let it rip.
By the way, I have a question. So I've seen Teslas go down the 5 or 405s or whatever.
Right on.
In the HOV, and they don't have the sticker. Is it just like assumed? Do the cops know? Is it just like one of these things where the cops are like, it's a Tesla, it's fine?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. They don't appear to enforce it. So technically, you're supposed to get the...
Because you got
to
register it, right?
You do have to register it. You do get the little sticker doodad. And I've actually got two sets of them because with my Roadster, I had one. Yeah. So I've had that for 8 years now, and it's the best when you're going back and forth.
Yeah, but you're one of the smart guys because you don't actually put it on your car. Like, I'm thinking, like, if I've got an $85,000 Tesla, I'm going to put this $3 sticker on it. It's like there's just something wrong with that equation. And so I see these, like, really nice black Teslas with the white.
It's gross, yeah.
You know,
so back
HOV
in the old
sticker.
Days, yeah, back in the old days, I had a cop. I can remember I'm just speeding along, and this guy comes alongside me, didn't recognize. That's in the Roadster. It was basically whatever the hell the body was based on. I'm spacing on the name of the car right now that the Roadster is built on. I remember he pulled up alongside of me and he got it and he just gave me one of these
because
I just had it pasted up in the window, but I've never put a sticker on my car.
Right?
What?
I know.
No way. I
actually have a problem with
that. WS radio sticker, which is in the back.
Definitely have the
bumper sticker. Don't grab that one.
Yeah. Well played, Ed. Very nice, man. All right, so interesting couple of days here. And by the way, first and foremost, do you guys, Rich, I know you follow basketball. Are you guys into the basketball thing at all? Do you follow? Yeah. You follow it. Okay.
Ed's got a much better story than me, actually.
My dad was in professional basketball for like 32 years.
Was he? Oh, wait, the coach?
Ed Rush, the referee.
The referee?
Yep.
That's your dad?
That's dad.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Famous.
I actually know that name. Wait, didn't he just retire like not too long ago?
Well, he retired from refereeing, but he's been in, he's been leading the referees in the NBA. He was there for 5 years. And
wow.
He was
very
working
cool.
in college for a while, so yeah.
Nice,
yeah.
man. So you were a complete disappointment when you couldn't play
totally,
ball. Is that
totally. Small. I stopped playing with. Actually, the other part of that story is my mom's in the Basketball Hall of Fame as a coach.
Your mom.
And so, yeah. And so with both of those folks, you know, the world changers in basketball, I stopped playing when I was a freshman because I was 5'10 and couldn't jump. And,
And you're white.
Maybe could make a layup.
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So here's the thing, right? So I don't understand what the beef is in terms of, like, when you look at the All-Star game, like this year's All-Star game, what was the one thing that was missing from this year's All-Star game in the NBA? Do you remember?
Like actual half-decent basketball?
Well, that for sure, but...
I know what you would say.
What am I going to say, Rich?
White people.
That's why. Because your dad was smart. Yeah. He saw the writing on the wall a long time ago. He was like, we got to get Ed doing something like for real here. Because like,
he turned into a fighter pilot. I mean, come on. It's not like he went backwards.
So, all right. So wait. So take us through this. So what was the conversation? So dad, you know, here I am. I'm thinking about playing basketball. I'm growing up. You know, look at me now. I'm 5'8". I'm 5'9". I'm 5'10". And then you stop. And dad's like, you know, man, I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, you might want to go in a different career path. Yeah. And you're like, okay, that's cool. I'm going to figure out how to. So if I can't play basketball, I'm going to kill people.
Yeah,
so that was like, you just like, you had these two paths. You're like, okay, basketball or fighter pilot. So wait, you actually served.
I did. Yeah, I was in the Marines for 13 years, actually, as a pilot. Flew right out at a Miramar, right here.
Right. And so, so it's you guys, it's your buddies that are making all that noise.
That's
over
the reason
my
you have all this soundproofing in here. Yeah.
That's the reason why we have it in here.
When we did our TV show, we'd always say, cue the jets.
Yeah, it was us.
It was all the time.
We would do it right when the show started on purpose.
You knew when Mary's show
was starting. Between 9 and 1 in the morning. Man. Yeah.
That's fun. All right. So, Mike, obviously you're obsessed. What are you doing? You're Facebook Living, you're YouTube Living, you're Periscoping. What are we doing here exactly?
Well, I'll tell you what. So, I was telling you on the way here today, I just came back, or Ed and I were up with Ty Lopez. And this guy has built an unbelievable following on social with Snapchat, with Facebook mentions. He's regularly, routinely getting 30 to 50,000 people watching him once a week right now. His conversions are off the hook. He's filling up event centers, and it's because he's really figured out how to manufacture celebrity for himself. You know, he's had Mark Cuban at his house. He's had I got to think of some of the others. A lot of sports heroes. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we met these kids, 18 years old, who are app developers making $200,000 a month each.
At 18?
18 years old.
Wow.
And we met him, you know, and the level of access he's getting. Larry David was at his house not long ago. So I've known Ty for, I think, 7 years now. He was a customer for years back when I had Traffic Geyser. And, you know, I've been doing streaming video in some way, shape, or form now, you know, live streaming since 2008, using it as a selling tool.
Sure.
But then, you know, doing online video now since the 90s.
So that's got to piss you off just a little bit. I mean, because you've been doing this now for like 8 years.
So that's an interesting frame. And I'll tell you what. So I'm going to set this up.
You got him going. He put the phone down.
Here we go. Yeah,
so, you know.
It makes me realize I should have shifted off of MySpace a long, long time ago.
That's
the big thing.
Wait, is there a problem still having an account?
No.
Oh, maybe that explains why my social media following
my
is
my 16 followers, though, haven't really been converting recently. Yeah, yeah. So,
no, it doesn't piss me off. Really, what I'm interested, and we go through these cycles, right? Because in the quote-unquote guru market, you can sit around, you can be sore, because we've seen people who
wait, when you're at home and you have an argument with your kid, do you go, do you know who the fuck I am? I'm a guru. Do you use that, like, at home?
It's never, ever. It's actually funny, because Zach gets to witness it, you know, and people come up and he's like, Daddy, it's our time, you know, because he's got the thing going on.
He's like 18 and still holds your hand when you guys walk down the
13,
street.
That, yeah, 13,
that's so
yeah,
cute, it's cute, man. He loves
but
you.
So I really celebrate the success, and right now I'm in a rapid state of learning and relearning, and you know, we all are, right? And when you see a Kardashian, the rumor has it.
Which picture are we talking about specifically?
I think it's is it Kylie? She announced a lipstick line on her website, and in a day, it's estimated she did $27 million in sales.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
From a
Snapchat
post.
What are we doing here?
Right on.
We are doing nothing.
Yeah. And then you've got
what
Instagram.
What are we doing here, Steve? Rich?
Our Lay's potato chips didn't even
show
up.
Where is our sponsor today? That is true. Our sponsor will make an appearance here. But so
Sweet.
Kylie Jenner, right?
We
so Kylie,
need liquor.com.
Liquor.com. I mean, Ed, I don't know if you know that or not,
story.
But I own liquor.com. So just in case you get thirsty later and you get tired of your purple.
You didn't even sponsor your own show?
You know what?
That's how far.
I wouldn't even sponsor this show. So yeah, if you get tired of your green and purple and whatever, that actually looks healthy. What are you drinking? But is that like that's like pure grass?
Stop by the Whole Foods. There's our sponsor right there.
Thank you, Wade. All right.
So yeah, stop by the Whole Foods on the way because we just came back from LA. We're driving back and we're like, hey, let's get a little lunch.
Is that the one in Irvine?
We went to the Whole Foods of Beautiful People in Encinitas, and I got to tell you,
that's where I live.
There are more beautiful people in Encinitas. That's what we're talking about. There are more unbelievably beautiful people in. It's like Encinitas has a great vibe.
What do you think I do? I mean, I do this radio show and then I go to work and I work intentionally at the Whole Foods for those exact reasons. Bam, something's got to pay for the studio time.
All the yoga studios, all the kids walking around.
Right?
My daughters go down on 101 to walk up and down the.
You go into Whole Foods, you get your thing.
We got ourselves a little juice.
And we're on a tangent. So you're talking about Ty Lopez, you're talking about live streaming, you're talking about the fact that you have no jealousy whatsoever. It's like, I teach my students, I want them to be successful, and when they're more successful than I am,
you little star.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's that it's true, right? I mean, you teach, you're a guru, you want your students to do well, but at the same token, you kind of want to put a ceiling on like how well they do, because at some point when they go past you and they blow past you,
you gotta get
and then they're like waving
shit,
at you, they're like, damn, like, so let me get this straight. So the stuff that I teach, it actually works.
And I was actually, this is part of the, I had a little lesson yesterday. I said, here's the thing. You could have a horrible product and you're always going to have an edge case that's going to like pop out of nowhere. And it's like, holy crap, where did you come from? Mm. I mean, it's the least, you're like, where in the hell? And the, you know, when people want to grow and they want to blow up, they're going to blow up. And if they're hungry enough, and get back to Ty, he is an incredibly fascinating human being. He's got a larger than life personality, and he's studied and lurked for many, many years, and he just hit the right, you know, had the right message at the right time. And and the way I've described him is, you know, he's in the hope business.
Sure.
So a lot of people are attracted to
selling wrinkle cream.
No. Well, that's a version of
maybe you should partner with Kylie. Partner with Kylie, do a wrinkle cream, and there we go.
But it's like he's people watch him. They're like, I've got to see how could I possibly be like him?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a quirky enough personality that he can show up and look like, hey, maybe I could do that too.
Yeah.
So he's not like this unreachable, untouchable, and that's part of his appeal.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. I mean, I have to say that from an authentic marketing standpoint, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit after the break, but from an authentic marketing standpoint, he clearly is like an open book, and there's certainly something to be said for that.
No doubt
about
it.
All right, more on Reinvention Radio with Mike Koenig right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Man, I'm sounding like I'm in a tin can. Oh, that's a little better. All right, brand new microphone. I like it. I should wear actually the stud. If I'm going to use this microphone, I got to use the girly studded headphones. That's buzzing bad, Wade, but we'll come back around to it. All right, so Mike, we got to do like some justice here, though, for you, because first and foremost, you got to tell people a little bit more about who you are, because I didn't even give you a chance to tell the story. And your story actually is not only pretty damn interesting, but it's pretty damn inspiring. Mm. So kind of take us back in the 2 minute Mike Koenig version of who you are.
All right. Well, the boring version is I'm a serial entrepreneur. Grew up in a little tiny town called Eagle Lake, Minnesota. Dad's a barber, lower middle class. And I started businesses when I was about 16 years old. So I built and sold some businesses and sold them. But along the way, now it's almost 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 3A cancer. Went through that process of...
Wait, you can't just gloss over that. So for those who don't know, like stage 3A means basically like you go into the doctor's office, you say, I'm not feeling well. They run some tests. You sit back down in the doctor's office and the doctor goes, hey, Mike, you're fucked. I mean, that's stage 3A. That's like bad, right?
Yeah. They basically said, you've got to go in and get this stuff cut out of you this weekend, because if you don't, wow, 6 months from now, you'll be dead. Holy. And you got a couple months until it goes terminal, stage four.
Jesus.
And I didn't feel horrible, but I was bleeding out of a certain part of my body on a regular basis. So,
that, was red that, flag.
So, right. So that was the clue. Like,
yeah,
something's
pretty,
going
yeah, that's,
on
that's
there.
Right. So, I think looking back, there was something definitely energetically wrong, but I just wasn't paying attention to my body. And the mm-hmm. truth was, you know, I was running a couple businesses, really, really going just working my rear end off, literally. And then, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Stage three colorectal cancer, by the way.
So the moral of the story is get one of those stand-up desks.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there, we're sitting, like, way too much, baby.
That's an option. Really, it came down to just, like, no stress management, and I was going round the clock, super crazy busy, mm-hmm. traveling every weekend.
How did that affect the family? Because you are married. You have just one? You just
one son.
Right.
Yeah, that and as my wife would say, and 50,000 more. She just came back from her 21st trip to Africa and Uganda, where she does a lot of work there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we had two miscarriages after Zach, and that's when she said, screw it, I'm gonna have hundreds of thousands of kids somewhere else. But how would it affect the family? I mean, the truth is, I can say this now, Vivian and I were definitely on at a point where we're ready to hang it up marriage-wise. My son, you know, I maintain a good relationship, but I wasn't putting in, I'd say, the quality time, the conscious time.
Yeah.
And what that did is it forces a total shift in focus and the way you manage time in your life and the way you perceive time. So, mm-hmm. you know, the treatments for it are pretty drastic. Major surgery followed by 4 months of intravenous chemotherapy. So you can't see this here, but here's my scar from the port. So they install a big port in you and hook you up. And you're walking around with basically a fanny pack that squirts poison into your body that's designed to shut your immune system down effectively and almost kill you to get rid of the cancer.
And you were functioning?
Yeah, so what
it's a relative term.
Yeah, sure. So what happens is you go in and when they inject you, there's about two days where they also give you steroids. So you feel effing great for about 24 hours. And then all at once, imagine like the most nauseous you've ever felt times two with no energy. Ugh. That's basically what it's like for 4 months. But what happens is so they're injecting you every 2 weeks. So
you feel like you're going to puke, but you don't even have the energy to go grab a pot.
Yeah, and there's nothing really to get Yikes. Get rid of. And you spend a lot of time in the bathroom, that's for sure. And what happens,
So Rich, do you have stage 3A? Is that
that's too much chili.
Thank right, you, ladies
guys.
And gentlemen.
All right, exactly. Guys.
We're going to have the beep just in case here. Yes. In case you hear, yes, the cough switch we have here can be used for alternate. It could call it the fart switch, too.
Yeah, I'm good with just potting people down.
There we go.
There we go.
Hey, I've had about enough steam.
There we go. On with the, yes, that was a word from our chili sponsor there. But anyway, so what ended up happening in my case is after the intravenous chemo, I ended up going and having 33 radiation treatments and then oral chemo at Duke, which is in North Carolina.
Oh, God, so you had to fly?
Yeah, that's rough. It's definitely rough.
7 hour. I mean, that's a
It was a long time. Yeah. And then what, and I was away for about 2 months. And, you know, I just spent, I had about an hour of strength a day. And what one of the bad things that happens, you start waking up in a pile of your own hair every day, which is a little disconcerting.
Wow.
And, you know, it's every day you wake up and you're like, ugh. And, you know, you go to the doctor. I wore a pair of cowboy boots. Otherwise, you're buck naked. You shift your junk into a lead pan. You go into a machine and they zap you. And then you do your best to eat something.
Yeah,
and then you feel miserable, and you've got about an hour of strength to just do whatever you're going to do. So I'd make a couple phone calls, or I'd talk on my phone. Most of the time, you're just laying in the fetal position.
Yeah.
Did you know or have a feeling that you were going to be okay, or did they already give you the prognosis? You're going to make it, buddy, but it's going to suck.
Well, the best answer I can give you is all the nurses and doctors said you got the right kind of attitude, because they, you know, I never complained, never bitched, and I always smiled. You know, I always had a joke to tell, and I just walked in. I was always happy, and I'm figuring, okay, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out and you know, with a smile, mm-hmm. and make every moment count. But I never doubted it. There were probably three times that I can remember distinctly I could have turned off my switch. And that's one thing that you realize. You'll meet someone who's gone through, let's say gets cancer for the third time, and they just say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. It's because it is an endurance exercise to go through the treatments in order to get to the finish line. And what does happen is there's a certain amount of physical body compromise. Like, I still have a degree of neuropathy in my fingers and my toes. I don't totally feel in the tips, because that's one of the things that chemo does to you. And because of getting zapped, all my parts work. So all my man parts work, for example, just fine. The one thing is, like, I don't have a sigmoid colon. So, like, gas, for example, is a mortal enemy of mine. I don't eat anything that can possibly give me gas, because I'm really uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
So you have to change your diet. So really what it does is it forces you to really learn how to listen to your body.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll go back and say, so with regards to the switch, I know what it's like to sit there and say, right now I could choose to die. I could make a decision to shut off my body. And now that I have a conversation with other people going through it, I know when people just, you know, they turn off their switch.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be pretty interesting from the mental standpoint. Like, I could do anything now, right? Like, it's like, you look at what's in front of you. It's like, oh, I got to do this show, or, oh, I've got to build this studio, or, oh, my kid needs to learn how to do X, Y, or, like, anything and everything would pale in comparison from that point forward.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, that ain't shit. I mean, look at what I did over here. And if I didn't throw in the towel on that,
right,
then there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to throw in the towel, you know, on this. Because it's like, it can't even compare.
Yeah, so the two things I can tell you is, number one, I value time differently, and, you know, things that used to matter don't matter at all anymore. So that's the kind of thing. It's like a lot of physical stuff, I'm like, I don't really care at all. And and so your ambition gets adjusted and focused on different things.
So how much do you want for the Tesla then right now?
Like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so like 10, we're good. 10,
he's just gonna give you the keys.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sweet. Nice.
Yeah, you were a little under on the list price of that sumbitch, by the way. It was about $1.35, but when you start adding the options, it'll get you.
So the exit on some of the other company stuff that you were doing, you know, obviously from an entrepreneurial perspective, and you've had some of the biggest launches, like, in the history of online marketing. So you've been able to, I know you've reinvested a lot of those winnings, if you will, into...
Spent.
There you go. Because you just built like literally $1 million-plus studio here. So, I mean, so you're all in as far as like this live streaming.
Yeah. Doing shows. We're doing an audio show right now. And this is fun doing, you know, five people, kind of an unstructured, more or less, where, you know, I'm kind of doing a version of TV right now, which is a different format altogether, where we're focusing on doing like 24-minute shows, building something that could do full-on, you know, broadcast TV, insert ads. It's a completely different mental exercise.
Yeah, and that's
it's
my fun. King show. So it's like almost like a talk show, variety kind of show. How would you describe the show in your own words?
Well, so we just finished our 12th, maybe 13th episode now. I got to double check. We have an episode coming out today, and we're recording, actually this afternoon, we're recording our next episode. And the first one, for example, was 100% live. So we had a live studio audience, live online audience, and more or less unstructured, where we performed, Ed and I, in front of camera. We had a couple guests. We did like a funny bit, not a lot of pre-recorded stuff, and it ended up being an hour and 40 minutes long.
Ooh.
And which, on one hand, fun for us, but you know, is that a manageable length? Like, if you're Tim Ferriss, for example, doing a podcast and you're doing what he's doing the way he's doing it, it can work.
Sure,
but it's nothing that we could repurpose and put on the air. And our goal is to make something that can be watched live, you know, a podcast, go to broadcast, et cetera, repurposed in every format imaginable, and to do segments that can be repurposed as well. Mm-hmm. So the answer to the question is, our goal at first is do something that kind of felt like a Saturday Night Live, have some funny bits, mm-hmm. but it was way too ambitious.
Yeah, and expensive. I mean, because like the bit you do with Sean Stevenson, I mean, you know, it's cute as all get out. Mm-hmm. But reality is that takes a ton of time.
Right, right.
And it's expensive, right?
Yep, so, and it's a long play. You know, doing shows like that require a lot of planning. So it's like it's 2 to 3 days worth of work, and then you got to make a living too. And so yeah. I was willing to throw a bunch of resources at it. And,
yeah.
You know, cool. But it's been a fun exercise. We're still doing it.
Yeah, very cool. So unlike Reinvention Radio, you actually plan and, like, throw resources at what you're doing there. We got to think about
what
maybe,
are we doing here again?
That's a good question. Right, we got to learn something from Mike here.
Juggling, right? Juggling,
and
juggling.
We will, right after this on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Right, there I am. Yay, welcome to another edition here of
Reinvention. You're on the sub.
We got like 16 mics in the studio today, which is pretty cool.
Thank you very much.
And one mic. All right, so very cool because we got a full house. Mary Coulet is here looking lovely as always.
Mary.
Thank you.
Richard Tay, White Wade. Actually, Ed Rush, man. Yo. That's very cool. What's up, Ed?
Yo, how you doing, man?
Awesome, Steve. Awesome. Mike Kings is here, and I am somebody. All right, so before the break, we were talking about how basically your life fell in peril, and then you came out of this and you decided, look, it's hard for a lot of people to recognize that we are mortal. Mm-hmm. We just think we have nothing but time. I don't know if you know this. I think you know this. My wife is a funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
mm-hmm.
this week alone, she put three 40-somethings on the table.
Wow.
Yuck. Whoa.
And so... Wow. I'm 46 going on 47.
She's hopefully.
Yes, exactly, right? And so, like, literally before I left this morning, she was like, don't take your motorcycle. So
What did you do?
I took my motorcycle because I'm worth more dead to her than I am alive. Like, there's no doubt at all about that. But
oh, man.
It's true. So if I disappear.
That is a point of view.
Yeah. So if I disappear.
Thank you, little boy.
Fortunately, yeah. my wife knows how to get rid of me. So, like, if we need to bury a body somewhere, I have a solution
She'll
for
make
us.
Make sure that you have a nice smile.
Exactly. Is this being recorded?
Choke her face. Yeah.
Right?
It's live.
Fortunately, after about the 40th or 50th episode, my wife stopped listening to Reinvention Radio. So pretty much just like all of our listeners.
Dave Pounder did it.
Dave Pounder. That was our guy who reinvented pornography. We still got to figure out what you're going to be reinventing. Maybe we're just reinventing Mike Enix.
We can do that.
Yeah. Okay, so you figure out...
I'll do the whole reinvention thing. We can do that. Yeah, that's easy. I can give you the... You know, we've been all over the place today. No doubt about it.
Welcome to Reinvention Radio. So,
thank you.
All right, so you figure out you're mortal. A lot of people think you just have nothing but time. There's mm-hmm. always going to be tomorrow. How do you make that shift in a mm-hmm. way that is permanent?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people who have those experiences in life.
Right.
And then for a little while, they're on like what I call the new car high. You know, it's just like they get in that car and it smells so pretty and they love it and they wash and they wax it and they throw all the garbage out anytime there's anything. And then like one day they leave a bottle in the back seat. Then the next day they go a week without water. It's like on and on. And first, and that new car becomes just like every other car mm-hmm. within due time.
Yeah.
How do you make it stick?
Yeah, it's a good question. So
you could say actually it's a great question. Is that okay?
No.
It's a great question.
No.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
We have a pool. Okay. Yeah.
And you just gave him one.
Well, you know what? He seated it, so I don't know if it counts. There you
You're
go.
Right.
Huh?
So there, it's back down to good.
Negative 1 point.
That's things. Okay. So here's, you know, Ed and I talk about this a lot because Ed just came off of a 21-day no food fast.
What?
Water only.
You want a chip?
I was supposed to be like a secret too. I'm like, Mike, you're the only person I'm going to tell. And then we were at Ty Lopez's house last night and he's like, attention everyone. This is my friend. And next thing you know, Ty's Snapchatting me to half of the known universe.
Wait, so are you in the middle of the 21 days now?
No, no, I just finished last week.
Last week.
On Saturday. Saturday.
I have a friend who had 21 days without sex. And I'm just and I heard, like, you remember that?
Is that
like,
with other people?
Well, that's true. Yeah. You remember about 2 weeks ago, there was like a small earthquake here.
Is this the same guy that reinvented pornography? Because it sounds like it would be a good match. I don't know.
Oh, man. But that small earthquake that you felt about 2 weeks ago here in the San Diego area, that was him, just as an FYI. Okay. So, how do you make it stick?
All right. I think what I've been learning. So my quick reinvention has been after cancer, I walked out of there and I'm like, I gotta sell my companies. Mm. So over the next year, really worked on packaging the businesses, being able to package them as software companies because I was selling information products as well. And we found a publicly traded company that bought the companies and I got paid, which is wonderful.
Nice.
And
cash and stock or all cash?
Cash up front and then pay out over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. No stock. I don't like stock deals that I don't control. So,
Smart.
Go. And it's the second time I've exited to a publicly traded company, which in itself is a story.
Because you did it to IPG the first time, right?
Yeah, that's right. Interpublic Group. That's exactly right. Nice. So that was my agency. And the goal was, and if you ask yourself, okay, if I could do anything, money were no object, and I could not fail, what would it be? Which is a great exercise to put yourself through periodically. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to do an online TV show. I want to do an online TV show that is fun and funny and intimate. I want to be able to bring in people I care about, I love, and be able to interview them and spend time and also be able to help build their celebrity status, their brand, mm-hmm. and create visibility.
So you hit on two of the three, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, thank you. And it's turned out like anything. Wow, there's a whole bunch of additional complexities that I didn't anticipate.
Sure.
And there were a lot of ways that I knew it could make money and it can make money. And some of the ways that it's been helpful has been different than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot about, you know, like I've got an audience and a list, and what they're used to getting from me is, Mike, teach me something cool. Let's do a live cast and then sell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a webcast. It's not like, oh yeah, so you've got a show. Well, what's the outcome? You know, they're not waiting for a weekly show from me. The hardcore folks are, of course, but they'd rather continue to consume from me the way they've been consuming.
So you condition. I mean, that's smart, man. I mean, you conditioned your people to know that, hey, I'm going to educate you and then I'm going to ask you to buy something.
Yeah.
Most people make the mistake of just educating, and then, oh, by the way, buy something from me. And it works for some, but for most people it does
not. Yeah, if I just stuck to my knitting, which is do events to sell things, that's easy. Doing a show, on the other hand, I've learned that's a long play for a new audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different approach than I anticipated. So I'll just say, but going back to answering your question, so that's kind of the reinvention part, is just reinventing a new business and a new business model, mm-hmm. and playing around with some different stuff. But the making it stick part is something that Ed and I talk about a lot, which is I've been journaling a lot lately and I meditate daily. So I use a program called Headspace. It's an app you can download.
Yeah, I got it.
And I believe the mechanism for making stuff stick. There we go. That was the beginning of a drum beat. Just one beat. No, but it's a matter of just getting super, super present with time,
mm-hmm.
and practicing gratitude. As stupid and ridiculously simple as that is, I think the nature of being a human is we focus on what we don't have. And, you know, the other day, and believe me, I can make a big long list of all the stuff I want to do and what isn't done in order to make that happen, what I'm waiting for, and how I need someone else's help to do this. There's just like a million loose ends. And if I stop for a second and think about, okay, what do I have, right?
Yeah.
I got cash in the bank, a remarkable family, an unbelievably you know, a studio. I've got a following. I've got an audience. The ability to make a lot of stuff. You know,
very like, attractive marketing partner.
Exactly. Yeah. So with a buttery voice.
I just skipped that part of the list.
I was just going to spend 10 minutes on it. I was just getting to Ed.
Wait, and most importantly, the bank accounts that you have with cash in them, they are not frozen, correct? So you can actually access the. Okay.
Yeah.
You are one step ahead of where I am right now.
There you go.
Like, literally, all my accounts are frozen right now. So I have. No shit. Like, literally. That's a whole story for another different day.
We didn't talk about merchant accounts before you did your launch.
Well, right? No, it's not even a merchant account thing. Yeah. That's a whole other story. We'll catch up over liquor.com later.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I know what it's like. Years ago, it wasn't that long ago, we had. You know, we've been a launch dependent business for a period of time.
Sure.
And we had a big launch, and our merchant account provider froze $1.2 million of our cash.
Yikes.
I couldn't make payroll a week and a half later, okay?
Yeah. Mm.
I invented a launch, got a new merchant account, invented a launch, and managed to pull it off by asking people to hold off getting paid, et cetera, et cetera. And we turned it around and generated probably like $400,000 or $600,000. It ended up being a million and some dollar launch in 30 days.
Wow.
Because I was effed, completely effed. Yeah. And guess what? It took 7 months to get the next $400,000. They eventually started releasing it several months later, but in like 50 grand increments. We were so effed, but the whole point is
you can say
nothing
fuck.
Better
it's
than okay, nothing better than a little emergency to
is that what F
right.
make you become very creative.
F truck, that's what we call it.
Yeah, fire necessity truck. Is truly the mother of invention. I mean,
totally.
It's like, yeah.
So I know what it's like to be in that spot, and it just makes you creative.
So you're thinking long tail here, man. I mean, like, literally, it's like, holy it's shit, man, it, yeah. the show thing, because 24 minutes, I get it. You're setting it up. You want to get syndicated. You want to get picked up, or maybe you just buy your time, and then you sell the commercials. But the break-even proposition on that is hard enough, let alone make it. Because, I mean, there are people who are scratching their heads going, damn, Mike, you did a $9 million launch back then. You did a $3 million launch here. You did this, that, and the other. Why on earth would you be? Well, there you go.
I don't give a rat's ass about the way things were. It doesn't excite me, and it doesn't serve, I don't think, my greater purpose. Now, does that mean I don't want to do a couple million dollar launch? Right. We're in the midst of right now planning out our next 100 days. Now, the days of the $10 million launches are fairly limited for a variety of reasons. They're harder to do right now, and the mechanisms that made them work, and also just some of the market mechanisms have changed up. But I will say, I'd like to serve more people a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when we were doing those huge launches, there was a period of time when the company was at our peak, we did like 13 point some million dollars in a year. I wasn't taking home a lot of that because I was reinvesting most of it in the business.
Sure.
And we grew so fast, and I had people who weren't telling me the truth, who I trusted about what was going on. And I was producing, selling.
Mm-hmm.
But on the back end, there was just money just being, you know, pulled through the company, and I wasn't aware of it. So it's a matter of building an infrastructure you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
And, and also I've had a couple of partners over the years who I've paid to.
Yeah, you paid the price on it. Yeah, literally.
They left, and I paid them. You know, it was that kind of a thing. So.
Yeah. All right, look, let's do this. We're going to talk a lot more with Mike Koenig here on Reinvention Radio. Mary Willay, Richard Tang, Wei, the whole gang here. All right, we'll be right back after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Ulscher, along with Miracle Labor today.
Lasers.
White Wave, Kelly Poker somewhere holding it down production-wise. Thank you, Kelly. You're extraordinary. We love you. All right, so, Mike, before we run out of time, because right on. Lord only knows that if we keep going down the path that I take us down,
Lordy, Lordy, Lordy,
you will not have an opportunity to tell anybody whatsoever about, like, how do they find out more information sure. about you? Where do they go? Where's the best place for people to find out, like, about the Mechanic Show and you in general?
There's sure. a chat room on AOL.
Yeah, yeah,
we've
exactly.
been hanging out at a lot.
Yeah, hanging out on Prodigy.
You know, so other than the Russian bathhouse, where you and Ed obviously yeah. met and, you know, yeah, you're talking about exactly. making things sticky earlier.
Nothing weird about two naked dudes hanging out in a big tub. You know, there's nothing weird about that at
Jenny,
all.
Jenny, you're hanging around the locker room.
All right. We're in the house.
So I'll give you one place. So youeverywherenow.com is where you can learn more about the businesses and you can get some of our books and articles and videos. And then the show is on my website, which is my name, but there's a shortcut link. It's mrbz.com. MRBZ, yeah. Kind of like Mr. Biz.
Kind of like Mr. Bold, but not.
That is, I don't know what to do with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's all right. My DJ name. It's been that way forever. All right, so let's do this because I mm-hmm. want to make sure that people have an understanding of exactly what they should be doing.
Sure.
If you were their personal coach right now, you obviously are a huge advocate of the online space. Yeah. I mean, you have been in this industry for probably longer
since
than
1981.
You,
yeah. Believe it or not, that's when I started getting online.
That is amazing. So you were one of the guys who had like the Morse code thing, and you were in the BBS rooms.
It was called an acoustic coupler modem, where you actually took your phone off the ringer and put it in two cups that the modem ran at.
Oh, like from War Games.
110 yeah. baud. Yeah, this nice. Was before 300 baud. That was like you could type faster than the data was going through the line almost.
That's super impressive. I true story. Like I got online in 1993. I feel like I'm late to the game here.
But like
the
AOL
internet
days.
Was so CompuServe's Electronic Mall. We actually launched on there. So the internet was so slow at that point that, like, if you wanted to see a picture of a pretty girl, like, you know, it would take, like, 16 minutes to get, like, yeah, you know, one JPEG.
Yeah,
so
like,
I got
and
to
then
the
your,
point.
Your modem would cut off right when they were getting to the NIPPLE.
Yes. No. I got so good at it that literally by her eyebrows, I could tell if I wanted to see more. Uh-huh, like,
yeah,
that's, exactly. you know, that's just.
Cancel. Yeah. Find the new one.
Go to the next phone.
Why am I more? Here again?
Better compression.
Because you love us. All right. Okay. So here's the thing. So you've been online for a long time.
Yeah.
You obviously are betting big, big, big on the future here. You know it's here to stay. You mm-hmm. hang with people that are making really good money. What do you tell folks who are in this world just getting started or those who have got a little bit of, maybe they're moving down the path just a little bit? If they had to focus in one particular arena right now, where should they focus their efforts?
Well, I will first of all say building your credibility and building your brand, building your visibility is first and foremost the most important thing because that's where you get genuine leverage.
Yes.
You know, you want someone to see you as being more valuable than your competition. And
so taking two steps backwards, mm-hmm. like by going on Reinvention Radio to build your visibility and your credibility
Holy
and that
crap.
Sort of thing.
You know,
so you're going to have to work twice as hard to get back.
I was just watching my bank account here. I dialed in and things just keeps on racking up the orders. I'm
and it's frozen.
$3,000, $3,000, $3,000 just coming in every second. It's like the old launch days.
Nice. All right. So
the answer to the question is, believe it or not, I tell people write a book and become a best-selling author.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is, it's the most effective way to get leads online. It's the best way to get speaking opportunities, to get like an interview. Mm-hmm. So we know each other, but if we didn't know each other and I wanted to get interviewed on podcast or on television, on radio, traditional radio, television, or online, being a best-selling author gets the host interested and you're seen as being more valuable.
Do you think that still carries the same weight though, in all honesty? Because we know we can game the system.
We
can game iTunes, we can game Amazon, we can mm-hmm. I mean hell, we can game the New York Times bestseller list
we
and
can.
People that we know,
yep.
including one that is sitting in this room right now, mm-hmm. has actually done such a thing.
Sure.
So do you really think that it still carries as much weight?
I'll tell you why. It's because I think if I'm in a room and I meet someone and my competitor hands a business card and I hand them a book or vice versa, and I write down my contact information inside that book, someone's going to take notice. They're not going to throw away the book. Usually not, right? It mm-hmm. still has value. And what's important about it is you can state who you are, what you do, and who you do it for on a package that's respected.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of like a business card nowadays, right?
I mean, to some extent. It can be. Mm-hmm. And also, I'll tell you two stories that will make this relevant. One was with Kevin Harrington. Met him at an event. I knew his story. And if you don't know who he is, he's the guy who is on Shark Tank, the original. And he also produced some of the most successful infomercials of all time.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Including who's the guy who died a few years ago?
The Joe
OxyClean guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
We know who you're talking about.
Ron Papil.
Not Ron Papil. No. Not an old guy. Younger
Ron
guy.
Jeremy.
Bob. No. Dang it. Now that's gonna bug me.
Bob. Yeah. Bob. Something rather. You just look up Bob, and if someone's online right now, they can do it for us. But here's what happened. Walk up to him. And he says, I'm catching a flight. Here, walk with me for a second. I handed him my book, and I wrote my my phone number and my email address. And I said, here's the deal, man. I've been following you forever. I'm friends with people you know. And I'd like to talk about doing some online video stuff. And he goes, okay. And I handed him my book. And it was, like, at the time, maybe 100 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
So 4.5 hours later, I get a call from Kevington. He says, I read your whole book on the flight. And let's talk and let's do something. So
this was before takeoff, by the way.
he had flown, he had landed, but the whole thing is a shorter book is a better book.
Okay.
Higher probability of being read. It turns out that 80 pages is actually an ideal length for your first book, and
really?
The reason for that, it has a 60-80% chance of being read. Something that's 200 pages or more, single digits.
Interesting.
Okay. Next thing is another flight. I'm on, and I overhear a couple guys in front of me saying, hey, do you know who that guy is up there? And they're like, it's Richard Dreyfuss. I'm like, holy shit, that's freaking awesome.
He lives in Encinitas.
He does. He lives just up the street. Oh, Levenhain, that's right. So I'm like, God, Jaws, Mr. Holland's Opus.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love, chatting with a celebrity, and I'm like, okay, how can I connect with this guy? I want to turn this into an interesting exercise. So turns out I knew a little bit about something he had, which is he's got a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife has a foundation. I've raised a lot of money for the foundation. And I looked up what he was doing, and he teaches his foundation's about teaching civics, about civic mindedship. It's really a great idea and a concept. So on the way off the plane, I grabbed my book. I walked on and I said, Mr. Dreyfuss, my name's Mike Koenigs. And I have an idea about how you can raise more money for your foundation. He turned around, he looked at me, grabbed my hand, he said, I need you.
Wow.
He goes,
nice.
Walk with me.
In that voice, too.
In that voice. Ooh. It was just like that. Ooh. This is a nice little boom, boom, boom. So he says, here, walk with me. So we're walking down, and he goes, now I got to catch another flight, heading down to Austin after this. And he goes, matter of fact, I'm probably on the same flight. I'm heading to Austin too.
Mm.
He goes, let's walk to the next gate together. Let's see if we can sit together. So along the way, I do the same thing. I give him my book. I write in, put my phone number, my email address. And he ended up convincing the hostess to move the guy who was supposed to be sitting next to him somewhere else.
Nice.
So I sit next to him the whole way, grabbing pictures. By the time it's done, I had him scheduled to be in my studio exactly 2 weeks later.
Nice.
Did a 2-hour interview and a bunch of other stuff. We stayed in touch. You know, so it's like.
And all because of the book.
Because of the book.
Okay.
And so
80 page book. It's still.
Totally.
Yeah.
You want to meet someone, walk up to them with your Sharpie, and at an event or wherever it is, you're going to get someone's attention. But it's get past the velvet rope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I way, way over answered that question, but I think it's a gateway because then it's easy to build a product based on what's inside the book.
Yeah.
The book becomes a lead generator. It's a way to start a conversation. And if someone reads, whether it's one chapter or the whole book, they know your story. They know your why.
Sure.
They know what you're doing and why you're doing it and who you're doing it for.
Yeah.
I've also used it as a way I got my foot in the door of a billionaire. Same type of thing.
All right, we're going to have to save this for the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
With
all
Mike Koenigs. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So youeverywherenow.com. What's Vivian's foundation? We'll give you the...
justlikemychild.org.
Justlikemychild.org. And,
right on.
And you also have the MRBZ.com.
MRBZ.com. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Mike, it's been fun. Ed, it's been fun.
Yes,
good
sir.
fun here on Reinvention Radio. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Wade. Thanks, Kelly. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.